Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
الحمد لله وكرام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, from amongst the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the ummah of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the name Al-Mujib. Al-Mujib, when translated in English, would literally mean the answerer, the one who responds to your call immediately. Just to give you an example, for those who are familiar with the Urdu language, we often hear the words sawal jawab. Sawal means to question or to ask, and jawab means to respond or to answer. And so al-mujib comes from the same root word, ajaba yujibu, which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the jawab, gives you the answer immediately. That is the meaning of Al-Mujib, that Allah is answering you to your call immediately. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that when we look into the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are so many names. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen this name Al-Mujib so that people understand the sunnat of Allah, the pattern of Allah, especially with those who have iman. That Allah chose a name with clarity which manifests the meaning of responding immediately to your call. Responding immediately to your call. Subhanallah al-Azim. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an, may Allah fill his grave with noor. What a great sahabi, a powerful man. And perhaps more beautiful than the building work is the name that is given to this beautiful masjid. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an would often say that I have never ever worried in my life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should accept my dua. That has never ever been a worry for me. I have never ever thought about this. That what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept my dua. That has never been a worry for me. But my worry is to make that call, to initiate that call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would say that there is no doubt that whenever a person takes the name of Allah or calls upon Allah, Allah will respond, because that is a declaration that He has shown the people of Iman in His name, that He is Al-Mujib. I am there to answer your call. But how can somebody respond to you if there is no call? So that we need to make that call, we need to make that dua to initiate. That is why in one hadith, Sunan al-Tirmizi, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained this very, very beautifully. And he says that when a person has opened up for himself the gates of dua, when a person has opened up for himself the gates of dua, then he has opened up for himself the gates of mercy from Allah. If you want to know that are you the recipient of the barakat, the rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that comes down, then look at your 24 hours. How many times do you connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My young friends that are here, how many times do you go on your mobile phone and look at your WhatsApp message, your emails? How many times do you do that? 50 times, 60 times, countless. People take their mobile phones in the toilet. When they are sleeping, it's under the pillow now. They don't look at the wife, but look at the mobile phone. Now compare everything of this dunya and compare what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I am Al-Mujib. Look, I am giving you a name which clearly means this. I am giving you a name so that you understand in Arabic. You understand. Just like if I say to you masjid, masjid means a place where people do sajda. Masjid means a place where people do sajda. It comes from the root word sujood, sajada. So masjid means a place where people are doing sajda. And so immediately you must understand that I am Al-Mujib. I respond to your call. Now when He is Al-Mujib, what it means is that His line with you is never engaged. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. In the world that we live in, we have to follow the protocol of this dunya. Sometimes they will tell you that you can only call during office hours from this time to this time. And then even if you call them, you might be waiting for 30 minutes, 35 minutes. And then even when you get through, it's the wrong extension. And then they'll put you to another extension. And that again will be another 30 minutes. And then there is no guarantee that the person who you wish to speak to is there. And you are speaking with the right man who is helpful to you. There is no guarantee whatsoever. And in fact, even if there is someone who is beloved to you, very close to you, and he might say to you that you can phone me anytime, but still you will hesitate. If it is 1 a.m. in the morning, you might think twice that can I phone him, because he might be sleeping, he might be resting. No matter who that person is. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us no. But I am Al-Mujib. And I am who? La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm. Allah does not suffer from the deficiencies that human beings suffer from, like snoozing and sleeping. Allah does not sleep. Allah does not take time out to nap or to snooze. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying 24 hours, any time, my line is open with you. Remember, you have come in this dunya. If you don't connect with me, it is not my fault, it is your fault. It is your fault, it is not my fault. I have opened everything for you. Everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always put this sign up, open. There is no such thing as closed. The only time it is closed, when you are breathing your last. Everything then shuts and it's closed. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now imagine, just to give you an example, if 1,000 people all together are talking to one person, what will that person say? "Bhai, I can't hear any one of you. If you are all going to shout at me, I can't hear anything. Get in the queue, wait, and one by one come to me." But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the plains of Arafat, 3 million, 4 million people, the only wazifa, the only duty given on that day is to make dua. 3 million, four million people are standing and crying and making dua. Is the line engaged? All in one voice. Labbaik, 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 ya Allah, ya Rahman, ya Rahim, ya Rahman, ya Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, all of you, every atom of you, every single one, call upon me all together, makes no difference. Because I am a Sami'. I hear everything at any time. I hear everything at any time. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this ummah, this ni'mah, this name, that He is Al-Mujib. And Al-Mujib means that whenever you call upon Him, He will listen to you. See, you can call your friend who is in front of you and you say, "Abdullah," and his name is Abdullah, he will look at you. But when Abdullah is not in front of you, if you say to him, "Abdullah," he will not listen to you, he will not look at you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anytime. But of course, what we have to do is that when we make that call, that vigor, energy should be in that call. It should not be a dua which is very, very cold, a formality. A dua which is a call that is very cold. It needs to be hot. Your dua needs to be hot. That energy, that heat should be felt in your entire body from your toes to your forehead. You understand that you are connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the meaning that when you call me. That is the meaning. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful. He is saying, not only am I mujib, but before mujib, He says, "Inna Rabbi qareebun mujib." Inna Rabbi qareebun mujib. I am mujib, the one who will answer to your call. But even before that, Allah Pak is saying, look, you know what? Don't forget. I am qareeb. I am very, very close to you. Now remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not confined to time or space. The reason why Allah says, "I am qareeb," is to comfort the people of iman. Allah save all of us. Imagine if somebody is ill in the hospital. And then someone who is very close to you, you like him, and that person also likes you, and he is sitting by your bed. And he says to you, "Worry not. I am very close to you. I am qareeb by you. You go to sleep, I am close by to you. I will always be here for you." Imagine the comfort that person takes from such words. That there are people who are there to actually love him. The problem today, my respected brothers, is that our character is so poisonous that even after our departure, there are no individuals to remember us. No individuals to remember us. Because we have not given that sacrifice. We have been self-centered. It's always been for you yourself. Allahu Akbar. And so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that dua should be such that there should be energy inside it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I am qareeb to you. So always feel that comfort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not leave you. Allah is saying, even if you don't make dua, I know what is inside you. I know what you are suffering. I know what you want from me. I know what you desire. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us. You know, this dunya is about testing. Allah is saying, is he calling me? Is he calling me? But it's all about that call. How many times do we make a phone call? Assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. How many times? Before you go to sleep, think. How many times have I made a call to my Allah in my dua? I was saying Hazrat Rabi ibn Khaysam, after Maghrib, he would sit until Isha and he would write down everything that he has said in the 24 hours. He would minute everything. And then after Isha, he would say, these are the right things that I have spoken, these are perhaps not the right things that I have said, and I have to do my Islah. And then he would also take time out to see that call that he has made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that even without asking, Allah is giving us. When he is giving us without asking, then imagine how it would be if we ask him. Because Allah has got all the power. A doctor cannot give you shifa. Shifa who gives? Allah. If you are looking for a job, it's not your titles, who you are, your profession. That is just a tool. But the one who gives you a good job is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can have a very beautiful cook around you, someone who cooks good food. But it does not mean that food will be provided, because Razak is who? Allah is the one who will give. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when I have all the powers, by where are you turning to? Don't you know I am al-mujib? And then there is this comparison that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives. What a great Nabi. In fact, if I was to question some of you here, it's a simple question, my respected brothers. Who do you think is the most beloved to you in this dunya, or someone who cares for you the most? If I was to say to you, who do you think from all the people of this dunya is there for you, caring for you, loving you, is there for you in your suffering, in your happiness, in your joy?
Just an individual or like more than one?
Well, individual. Say your wife. I will say my mother. MashaAllah. Even your wife. No problem. Allah give her Jannah. But Jazakallah, brother. Jazakallah. You know, it's nice to speak out. You know, Allah has given wife also a great position. But when we look at the hadith and the Quran, what we see is that mother and father are untouchable. What are they?
Untouchable.
So that is the golden rule. You put that on one side. Everything else, alhamdulillah, it's there. Everyone has their due respect. But now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is touching that person and giving us an example. And these are the words of the great Nabi, and he said that how much does your mother love you? How much does your mother love you? Can your mother harm you in any way? Never. She will want to harm herself first before any harm can touch you. She will put herself in front of any difficulty before that difficulty can touch you. Her heart is such that she is blindly in love for you. Because that is in her DNA. That is what Allah has made her. She just can't see anything wrong with you. Now, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, more merciful than your mother. Much more merciful than your mother. Without any kind of comparison. More merciful than your mother is your Allah. When that Allah is more merciful to you than your mother, then what is stopping you from asking Him? Why are we so lazy to ask Him? That is why, my respected brothers and elders, understand. Subhanallah, there is one hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A sahabi came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, some of the people think that we have to know so many ayats of the Quran, and we have to know so many things, and so many that dua and this dua and that dua. Alhamdulillah, the more you know is better. But that should not stop you from getting close and making that call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any language, in any of the words that you know. If you look at this sahabi, he came, and there is this ajeeb word that is used in the hadith. So he came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, O Nabi of Allah, when I see you, lift up your hands. This beautiful dua, this humming dua that you do, and in the Arabic language you call it dandana. What do you call it? Dana, dan. So this is the dandana, the way you make the dua very beautifully. Knows how to actually join one word to another, one word to another. Very nice dua. So he is saying the dandana that you do in your dua and some of your companions, and he took the name of a sahabi, Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He says, even Mu'adh ibn Jabal, how does he do dua? And I feel left out, Ya Rasulullah, I don't even know how to make dua. And some of the learned people around you, they know how to make dua. But we are simple people, we don't know how to make dua. And we feel left out. We feel that as if, you know, this opportunity has been missed. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, no problem, come to me. So he said to him, tell me, ma taqulu fi salah, how is it you pray, how do you pray your salah, and what is the dua that you do in your salah? So he said that, qal atashahadu, you know, I do my tashahud when I am sitting, and then what I do is, as'alullah al-jannah wa a'udhu minan nar, and that is all I do. I ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant me Jannah and to save me from the fire of Jahannam. And that is all I do in my dua. So what does he do in his dua? Two things. I ask Allah for Jannah and I ask Allah to save me from. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his young sahabi, worry not, everything this dandana, forget all that. You just continue asking Allah Pak what you are asking, because this is the best thing you can ask Allah Pak. Simple words. Islam is very simple. You just continue. Do you even know how to make this dua? Allah give me Jannah and Allah save me from Jahannam. How long does this take? Few seconds. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, a man cannot turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What shaitan does, shaitan likes to block the connection that he has with Allah, when in reality the very essence of our faith is the fact that we know that Allah is Al-Mujib, that He always responds to our call. And when you always call Allah, that means Allah will always make you happy. But shaitan cannot see you happy. Shaitan wants to see you depressed. Shaitan wants to see you confused. Shaitan wants to see you completely lost. So what he does is that he stops you from asking Allah. You see, even when you read the Quran, imagine it is Quran, it is powerful. But Allah's Nabi is saying, "Ad-du'a mukhul ibadah." Your du'a is the essence of ibadat. Why? Because for that period of time, no matter what, that human being has got this pure connection with Allah because he's connecting to Him. He's asking Him. So shaitan stops you from that du'a. And sometimes you'll find people, oh, you know what, I make du'a, but Allah doesn't listen to us. You know, you get some people who are so lazy. Hey, Mauli sahab, you know, mera kaam hai, you know, I've got a job. Can you do istikhara for me? To main tumhara nokar baitha hoon kya? Mauli sahab, can you do istikhara for me? Why? Are you so lazy? I don't know how to do it. Well, learn. You didn't know how to drive a car, huh? You didn't know how to drive a car when you came in this dunya, did you? In what profession do you work in? You had to learn something to earn, isn't it? Well, learn istikhara. How to do istikhara is not difficult, but you're lazy. You know, if people could have their way, they might say, oh, you know what, don't worry, I can't pray five times a day salah. You know, I'll pay him to pray my salah. That's how people are today. People really are like that. If they could pay someone that make dua for me, they will pay somebody. But they will not make dua. And they will say, dua me yaad. That is fine. But bhai, dua me yaad, but then even you remember yourself in dua. You remember yourself in the dua. 5 minutes. Take it to be farz. Take it to be farz. Every namaz, how many namaz are you reading? 5 times a day. After every namaz, don't miss out this opportunity. Allah, I am calling you. What am I doing? Allah, I am calling you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an open statement in His kalam, in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي. O my Nabi, when my servants come to you and they ask you about me, first say to them, you know what? I am qareeb. You know, when somebody is close to you, physically close to you, you feel happy. You feel you have somebody. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. I am close to you. Then look at the words of the Quran. This is an open statement. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِي. I respond to the call of the caller when he calls me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen the words. Imagine he did not even say, I respond to the call of an alim. I respond to the call of a mujahid. I respond to the call of a wali of Allah. I respond to the call of a haji. I respond to the call of somebody who's muttaqi or a dhakir. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, it can be anyone. Anyone who has never ever called upon Allah and he decides he wants to call me, Allah is saying, I will respond to the call of the caller when he calls me. Insan gives ta'ana, insan likes to taunt. What do they say? You see, now when he needs me, he comes to me. What do they say? Insan, he will say, now when you need me, you come to me. When you need me, itne din se gaib tha. But when you need me, you come to me. Allah Pak never says that. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, anytime, I will never taunt you. I will never ever taunt you. Allah is saying, look at the name that I have given you. I am Al-Mujibu. And what shaitan says is that, you know what? Allah, is he listening? Will Allah accept my dua? In the Quran, if you study the Quran, what we find, verses of the Quran in which it seems that a person will self-confess to this fact that Allah has always answered my call. He will have to confess. In the Quran it comes, وَأَقْبَلَ بَعْدُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْدٍ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. When the people of Jannah will be in Jannah And what will happen is that they will all sit together and they will start chatting and talking and having a conversation. And they will say, قَالُوا إِنَّا كُنَّا قَبْلُوا فِي أَهْلِنَا مُشْفِقِينَ. We're in this beautiful Jannah, but do you remember previously, referring to dunya, but do you remember previously when we were amongst our family members, fi ahlina mushfiqin, we were so scared. So in Jannah they are saying, remember previously in dunya we were so scared. Wait, what were you scared of? Wait, dunya is something that you have to be scared of. Anything can happen to you anytime. A person is fearful of his provisions. An accident can happen. He's scared of his health. There is fear element of everything in this dunya. This dunya is where you have to be scared. It's a serious world. You are scared in this dunya. How will you die? Will Allah give you Jannah? That is also fear. Will Allah save you from the fire of Jahannam? So in dunya we were so scared. And then the conversation continues. فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. But Allah is so merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great. Manna means Allah is so good. Allah is so great. وَوَقَانَا. Look, Allah has saved us from that punishment of scorching fire. Adab as-samum, from that punishment of scorching fire, Allah has saved us. And then they will say, Inna hadha min qablu nad'uh. Do you remember, all of us, when we were back in this dunya, Inna hadha, when we were in this dunya, min qabl, before, nad'uh, we were making lots of dua. What were we making? Lots of dua, lots of dua. Allah give us Jannah, Allah save us from this, Allah save us. And they will remember their dua. And in Jannah they will self-confess to the fact that Allah has given us everything. Innahu huwal barrur rahim. Allah is so merciful that Allah is the most beneficent and Allah is the most merciful. Allah has granted us Jannah here. They will talk, Inna kunna min qablu nad'u. Do you remember we were making dua in dunya, in Leicester, in Hajj, in London, when we were traveling, we were making dua. A lot of people miss out when they travel. They don't do dua. They think that because Allah has given them shortcut in salah, it's shortcut in dua. It's wrong. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, three types of people, their duas are always accepted. Number one, madhloom. The one who is oppressed, his dua is accepted. The one who is oppressed. Number two, musafir. Number two, musafir, the traveler. Number three, mother and father. Mother and father, the dua is always accepted. Always remember. In fact, when you look at the Quran, my respected brothers, look at the prophets, the messengers. You look at any incident in the Quran with a Nabi, you will see that the dua that any Nabi that he makes, he is asking from Allah Pak something which is humanly impossible. The Anbiya were training humanity by asking Allah such things which normal human beings would wonder, how is this possible? But they would ask to tell their followers that, remember, what is impossible for you, it is, what is impossible for you is possible for Allah. It is not impossible for Allah. For Allah, everything is possible. Zakariya alayhi salam becomes a very old man. And then he says, Allah, I want a son. He's an old man and he's asking, Ya Allah, I want a son. Bhai, who are you? Allah is the one who gives. Look at that. Asking Allah. Maryam alayhi salam is there. The food she gets out of season. There's no season. Who is giving her? Whatever she desires, Allah is giving. how many, Ibrahim alayhi salam comes to the city of Makkah, completely dead, dry, barren, uncultivated. And he is saying now, Ya Allah, make this city green, lush, make this the center of attraction. He is saying, make this the center of attraction. Ya Allah, if that land was uncultivated, barren and dry and nothing was there, Ya Allah, our hearts today are like that city of Makkah. And Allah, like how Ibrahim alayhi salam made that dua, that Allah make it lush and green and make it the center of attraction. Allah, make our hearts the center of attraction for your name. Ameen to bole bhai.
Ameen.
And so if you look, Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, all these duas. And so whatever you have, there is every possibility with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that we need to understand. Never ever give up. Especially the youth that are here, the young people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it. There is no words to describe when the young and the youth make dua. I was in Darul Uloom in Darul Bari, and subhanallah, you know, when you sometimes are in the prayer hall in the Jamaat Khana, and Saturday, Sunday, a lot of the children go home, but you see some of the kids in the masjid, youngsters, so young, and in the masjid, they would cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that you wonder, Allahu Akbar, what a connection. These are the young youth, you know, 16, 17 year old, 18. The others are somewhere else in this dunya, and they are in the, it's winter days, it's dark, it's cold, Maghrib, the lights are switched off. One is sitting in that corner, one is sitting in that corner, in that corner, in that corner. That person doesn't want to show who I am, and that person is hiding in that way. And connecting, and for 1 hour, 2 hours making dua. So how do you think these people become when they come out? They become dynamic people, my respected brothers. They become powerful people. Allah loves the young, the youth, who have a habit. Beat the shaitan. Tell him that every time I touch the phone, more than that, I will touch my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the dua. Hazrat Abu Huraira, inshallah, just to conclude. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, Hazrat Abu Huraira is that sahabi generally that every man has this natural love for him. Everybody likes him. So he said, Nabi of Allah, you know, I'm in great problems. So Allah's Nabi said, What is the matter, Abu Huraira? And he said that, you know, my mother, she is not a Muslimah, and sometimes she will speak things about you which gives me a lot of pain. And I can accept everything, but somebody who talks about you in that way, it's painful. So he said, I come to you, O my Nabi, with one request. So Hazrat Abu Huraira said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my request is that lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. And just say, Allah, guide the mother of Abu Huraira. Aha. Just say, guide the mother of Abu Huraira. Look at the yaqeen they had. Yaqeen. You know, to have that yaqeen, that belief, it is so powerful. Once Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about an event where a cow was talking to a man. A cow was talking to a man. And then he just said that a cow was talking to a man, which is not something that you see all the time. But I am saying it to you as a Nabi, that this is a real story that occurred. I believe in it, talking about his own statement as a Nabi, that I believe in it, Abu Bakr believes in it, and Umar believes in it. And in that majlis, Abu Bakr and Umar were not there. Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar were not there. Look at the love, look at the level of iman of Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar, that Allah's Nabi is advocating their inner
Iman and saying, I can vouch for Abu Bakr and Umar. They are not here. But what I have said, it is the truth. I believe in it. Abu Bakr and Umar also believes in it. This is hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Lift up your hands, please. And just say, guide the mother of Abu Huraira. Allah's Nabi lifts up his hands. Ya Allah, guide the mother of Abu Huraira. And that is it. Out of excitement, this young man jumping, going one shot, once from the masjid to the house, knocks on the door. When he opens the door, the mother again, the same mood. Ah, Abu Huraira! I said, Abu Huraira was shocked. Allah's Nabi made dua, but the reaction is the same. Shouting at me again. Don't take another step into the room. Don't take another step into the room. But listen to me. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Hazrat Abu Huraira was blown away. What was he? Was blown away. Wow. Look at the dua. 1 minute. They dua. Changing the inner condition. A few minutes. A lady is talking in a disrespectful way of this great Nabi. He lifts up his hands. Allah is saying, I am al-mujib. I will listen to you. Call on me. And Allah gives iman. And look at that. Look how hungry sahaba were for dua. And then he hugs the mother and kisses the mother and cries with the mother and says, you know, there were only two people, Abu Huraira and the mother, bus. And so he ran back and he says, mother bus, you stay here. I don't know what to do. And he goes back and he goes back to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. And he says, oh Abu Huraira, you have a smile. He says, yes, O Nabi of Allah, I have a smile. Allah's Nabi says, I know what you're smiling for. He goes, I know, Ya Rasulullah. You know what I know and I know. That Allah always listens to you. But O Nabi of Allah, it seems that the du'as are being accepted. Ya Rasulullah, it's not enough for me. It's not enough for me. Oh Nabi of Allah, lift up your hands. Lift up your... What do you want me to lift up your hands? And look at him. He's saying, oh Nabi of Allah, whatever du'a you want to make about me, make it. That is your choice. But just give me some du'a. Look how merciful Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Look at the character. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam lifted up his hands and said, Ya Allah, this servant of yours, Abu Huraira, and his mother, Allah, put the love of this servant of yours, Abu Huraira, and his mother in the hearts of all the believers until the day of Qiyamah. That is why you'll see that a lot of people write in a different way about some of the companions, Allah save us, which is not right. But generally, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala is a man very different. Everybody talks about him in a different way. It was the dua that, Ya Allah, put the love for this young boy and the mother in the heart of my every believer. And that condition is there if you have iman. Of course, if you don't have iman, then you won't have love. So obviously you don't have iman, that is why you don't speak good about sahaba. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. My respected brothers, today it is Yawmul Jumu'ah. 2016 has started. Let's make this firm promise that inshallah we will beat the shaitan. We will get into the habit of making dua. Even if it means minimum 30 seconds. What is it? 30 seconds. And very quickly, I just want to go over with you the procedure of dua so that we understand the procedure. Procedure is very important. The method of dua, how to make dua. Number one, have your trust upon Allah only. What is it? When you're making dua, your trust should only be upon Allah. In the hadith it comes, I deal with a person in the manner that he thinks about me. I deal with a person in the manner that he thinks about me. If he thinks that Allah is most forgiving, most merciful, I will deal with him in that way. So have your complete trust on Allah. Number two, when you make dua, show that desperation. What is it? Desperation. See, like Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Taif, he's communicating with Allah. Ya Allah, I am weak, there is nobody here. These people don't even see me as a Nabi. Allah, if they are not to become Muslims, then who will worship you? And that desperation, that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talking to Him in that way, making that plea. And so, pleading with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number two. And then number three, what is important, don't be hasty in your dua, leave it to Allah Pak. You just continue making dua, the results, leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number four, which is also very important, is that brothers, your livelihood has to be halal. Your livelihood has to be halal. If your livelihood, if your earning is not halal and haram, then it has a serious impact on your dua. So what is important is that your livelihood also has to be halal. Now, the adab of dua, very quickly, just one more minute. The adab of dua, ulama have mentioned, raise your hands. What is it? Raise your hands. When you make dua, raise your hands. Why? In the hadith it comes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shy not to listen to that person who has lifted his hands to Allah. This is in the hadith. Allah is shy not to listen to that person who is saying, Ya Allah, this is what I want. Allah is shy. Look at this man. You know, sometimes a person will say to you that, you know, if you can spare your spare change, you know. And you might even know that this man is, you know, just doing it for whatever reason, but he's not genuine. But the way he puts up his face, you might just give him your spare change, 50 pence, I'll just go, okay. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shy. Number two, it is mustahab that you do dua when you have wudu. But if you don't have wudu, Shaitan must not feed in information that don't do dua because you haven't got wudu. No, it is just mustahab. Number three, when you do dua, first start with the praise of Allah. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. These are the words of praise. Simple. So first thing you do, Allah likes that you praise Him. It doesn't mean that by you praising Him as if Allahu Akbar, Allah's honor increases, aliyazu billah, or His dominion increases. Not that. It is only to show your connection with Allah. It is only to show your connection with Allah. So you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you seal it with Durood Sharif. What do you do? Durood Sharif. After reading Durood Sharif, then what you do is that you invoke Allah Pak again with Asma'ul Husna. What is it? So you raise your hands, it's nice you have wudu, then you praise Allah Pak, then read Durood Sharif, then read Durood Sharif, and then read Asma'ul Husna. Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, all the lessons that we have gone through. Ya Sami, Ya Basir, Ya Mujib, now that you know, Ya Mujibu, Ya Allah, it means that you call, you answer to the call of the prayer. Keep on praying this, Ya Mujib. And then read the Asma'ul Husna, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in any language, you start your dua, whatever you want. And make that dua persistently, continue making that dua. And then after that, Durood Sharif again. What do you do? Durood Sharif again. So Durood Sharif, and then you seal it with Durood again, Durood Sharif. And then after your Durood, again praise Allah. What do you do? Subhanallah, walhamdulillah. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and end your dua in this manner. Continue doing this and you will see your life changing for the better. Inshallah ta'ala. And another thing, my respected brothers, another good action is when a person is in some kind of a musibah or taklif, then take out sadaqah. What should he do? When he takes out sadaqah, take it out with that intention, Ya Allah, I'm giving sadaqah, hoping that you will compensate for this difficulty that I have. And then with sadaqah that you give, and then you also make dua, A man can never lose when he is in the habit of making dua. He is always a winner. Bade khushnaseeb hai wo log jo al-mujib par amal karte hai. They continuously call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an said. It does not worry me whether my dua will be accepted or not, because I know he is al-mujib, he will always accept my dua. But what worries me is that do I initiate? Do I make that first call? Do I lift up my hands? Now in the hadith, even if that concentration is not there, don't worry, lift up your hands. If you can't cry, then make your face like the one who is crying. That is enough. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Just 2 minutes, my respected brothers, let us do muraqabah. Inshallah, just close your eyes and think deeply towards your heart and purify your heart with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم اجعلنا من الفائزين. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. اللهم توفنا مسلما والحقنا بالصالحين. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم إنا نسألك من رزاق والجنة. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نكبتك وجمع سخطك. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.